Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea. He was proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite the children to come up. Hi. Having a good morning? Good. Do you both play instruments? You play the piano. You don't play one yet? You don't? Well, do you think you could play a flute like this? You have a flute? Do you play it? Okay. Well, this one here, I actually got in Israel. But you see that it's split, so it doesn't play very well, and I never did learn to play it. When you play the piano, do you just open up a new book and put it up there and play?
Not a book.
What does it take to play that song? Do you have to practice? Why do you have to practice?
So you can get better at it.
Yeah. Well, have you ever thought, well, maybe I'll just play? And play something with lots of notes? No, I don't do that either. So it takes some preparation. And that's what Advent is all about. Preparing. Are you prepared for Christmas? Oh, not so sure. Huh? Yeah, you don't have all your Christmas gifts bought yet? Of course, it's still early, isn't it? But the season of Advent in the church year is about preparing, but not just preparing for Christmas. It's preparing our hearts for God. That's right. And when we have our hearts prepared for God, when God comes to us, he welcomes us because he knows us. Shall we say thank you, God, for that? All right. Thank you, God, that you welcome us and that you love us so much that you want us to know you personally. Help us, Lord, as we prepare for Christmas to remember that the reason we're preparing is for you. Amen. Thank you. Well, Advent is a time of preparing. Advent is that time when we begin a journey that begins and ends with Christ. Last week I said that this season was the time when we were almost, it was a season of almost. We were almost to Thanksgiving, We were almost to Christmas. We were almost to the day of the Lord. In fact, the day of the Lord is the end of our journey. And that's the one we're waiting for. So in between, right now, we need to take a pit stop. Have you, those of you who have kids, do you remember the days, well, at least it was, maybe only our kids did this, but we would get in the car and on a long trip, a half hour, maybe an hour, after we got going, I gotta go to the bathroom. You got that? So we'd have to pull into a filling station or someplace so they could go to the bathroom. That was always a good time for me. This is before GPS. I would get out my map and make sure I was going in the right direction and going on the right road. Well, Advent is that kind of a road for us because there is so much going on around us that it's really hard to concentrate on where we really want to be and where we really need to go. You know, you look at the world around us, the world is not ready for Christ. I mean, there are wars and rumors of wars. There are drug wars. There are political wars. There are military wars. You name it, we got about a war for about everything. If that isn't bad enough, the FBI tells us that every 54 seconds, there's a violent crime in the United States. That every minute of every day, there's a robbery. That every 17 minutes, there's a rape. And the list goes on. We think, what's going on in our world? How can we really be prepared for Christ when all of this other stuff is happening around us? What do we do? It's kind of like when we lived in Springfield, Missouri, we used to take drives once in a while up into the Ozarks. If you've ever been up in that area, you know those roads are really something else. They weave and they split, and you never know where you are. It's easy to get lost. One of the travelers was going through that area and did get lost. And he stopped. He saw a man sitting on his porch, just sitting there smoking his pipe and rocking away. And he said, sir, could you tell me how to get to Springfield from here? The man sat, thought a minute, and he said, well, sonny, I tell you what. If I was you, I'd turn that car around, go back the way I came, because you can't get there from here. Well, sometimes we look at what's coming on in Christ, and we're saying, you can't get there from here. There's too much in our way. Too much that we can't control. Too much we don't know what to do with. But then there's also that good news, bad news. You know the old story about the golfer? This guy was an avid golfer who had this dream one night. And in his dream, he was on the most beautiful golf course he'd ever been on. He was in heaven. And St. Peter was his partner. And as they were golfing, he was marveling at this beautiful, beautiful golf course. And he said, you know, St. Peter, I'm absolutely amazed that there's even golf in heaven. And St. Peter said, well, yes, it's kind of a good news, bad news story because there is golf in heaven. The bad news is your tea time is 2:00 tomorrow. So we are in that dilemma where we want to be there, but we aren't quite ready to get there yet. Well, the people of Judea had that same problem. Isaiah deals with that in the first lesson. Because up to that point, Isaiah has been warning the people of Judea that if they didn't change their ways, things were not going to turn out well. They were going to end up in exile. But at the same time, today's reading in the 11th chapter is one of those that's almost too good to be true. You know, it's one of those where, you know, you have a lion eats grass with the cattle. The wolf lays down with the lamb, and all these different animals are getting along fabulously well. It's a time of real peace when they know peace from the very beginning. This is kind of that lesson in a nutshell. A shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse's clan, and a branch shall grow out of his root. The Spirit of God shall upon him rest, wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might, understanding and fear of the Lord. A child of God shall lead them and teach them how to love. To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind and soul. The wolf shall live with the lamb and be at peace, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and fatling together, a child of God shall their leadership take, and the cow and the bear shall eat grass. The child of God shall lead them and teach them how to holds forth for the people of Judea if they will turn to the Lord. And that becomes the problem. It's hard to turn around. I saw a birthday card. It said on the front, "Repent." And on the inside it said, "But today's your birthday. Do it tomorrow. Have the ball today." But isn't that the attitude many people have? Well, yeah, I'll get around to repent, and I'll change my ways sometime. But not today. I can do all kinds of other things, but I don't want to change my way of living. I'd rather live the way I can enjoy myself and do whatever I feel like. Romans, in the book of Romans, Paul speaks to the Roman Christians in much the same way, calling them to change their ways and to lead a life worthy of the calling to which God has called them, because he says the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, Paul is living in an age when many of the early apostles believed that the day of the Lord could come at any moment. So much so that actually the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, weren't written down until much later. The earliest one that was written down something like 15 years after the resurrection, the Gospel of Mark. And the others, some of them weren't written until 95 A.D. They really thought it was coming, so why bother write it down? Until they began to get a little older and realized, yeah, we've got to get this down so that people know who the Christ really is. And that we need to change our ways so that we can be like him. In our gospel, John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's a renegade. He's a rebel. He dresses kind of strange. You know, we have a few people around these days who dress a little strange, and we kind of discount them. And that may have been part of John's problem. I mean, what do you say to a guy who's in camel's hair in the middle of a hot desert, eating honey and locusts and doing all kinds of odd things, even if his message is a powerful one? And he points to the religious leaders of the day and says, "You brood of vipers. You come here to be baptized, but you aren't willing to turn around and repent, to change your ways." You know, the problem that John the Baptist has is one that we all have. You know, sometimes we get to the point where we're going in one direction and we really never reach the point of acknowledging the fact that we've got to turn around. And I noticed that nobody here has turned around. You see, that's the idea of repent, to actually turn our whole selves around, our whole way of living, our whole way of life, so that we are going in God's direction, not just our direction. Because our direction is not always the way it ought to be. God calls us and encourages us to live as he wants us to live, not as we want to live. Yes, there is all this crime and corruption and everything else going on around us. But if we follow that path, we really do need to turn ourselves around, to follow the way of the Lord. And a child, Isaiah says, will lead us. John the Baptist declares, that child is the one who is coming, who has come, and whose thong I am not even worthy to untie. I'm not willing. I mean, I'm not able to be him. But when he comes, he will turn the whole world upside down. That's the Christ who comes into our lives. That's the Christ we prepare for during this Advent season. We prepare, make a pit stop along the way to check that our route is right. And then we look forward, not just to Christmas. Christmas is kind of like a way station along the way. But what we have to look beyond to is the day of the Lord. Because that's even more important than Christmas. May we be prepared for that great and glorious day. Amen.